Hey guys, my name is Eden Richardson, and I'm a discipleship director here at First Baptist Rock Hill. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's message from our pastor. We are so excited as you listen to see what God's going to do through your life. Be sure to also like and subscribe to our YouTube channel for future sermons, and we can't wait to see what God does today in you as you listen to this message.
My name is Jamie Burdett. I'm the senior adult pastoral care missions pastor here at First Baptist. Let me tell you how the children's ministry knows me. I was down speaking with the children's ministry a few weeks ago. I was at 481 Missions, and Holly Matthews, the children's elementary children's director, had asked me to come down and share about a trip to England that I had taken and some of the work we'd done with the missionaries there. So I'm walking into the room with Holly, and one of the leaders is standing there introducing me, and I heard her say, Pastor Jamie is here tonight to share with us. Does anyone know who Pastor Jamie is? Now, I don't do a whole lot with the children's ministry. We have such great workers down there. I really appreciate them. So I wasn't really expecting anybody to respond. But one child spoke up and says, oh, I know Pastor Jamie. And I got to, let me be honest with you. Like, they know who I am down here. Look at that. And I'm walking in, and he followed up. I know Pastor Jamie with, he's the man with the white hair. And that's why we keep children in our lives, to keep our egos in check. God bless them. Had a great time speaking with them. But before we begin our time in God's Word, I also wanted to highlight that our student ministry was on mission this week. It was their spring breaks for most of the schools. So our middle school students went down to Charleston, and they served alongside Harbor City Church, who's one of our church plant partners. Had a great time down there. I think you said some of their folks came and served alongside y'all. Our high school students were in Pittsburgh. They worked with Steel City Church, one of the church plants that we've supported in the past, and they also work with another church plant up there in the area that's reaching out to a new area of Pittsburgh. So if you were on one of those trips, thank you so much. I appreciate you giving up your spring break. Appreciate the adults who went and served alongside as well. So as we turn to God's Word this morning, I want us to look at a familiar story. It's found in Joshua chapter 6. It's the Battle of Jericho. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and be turning to Joshua chapter 6. And I want us to see how the Bible and how this story in particular can encourage us during difficult times, how it can encourage us, the lessons that we can learn to put into practice when we're dealing with hard times. But before we get into the passage, I want to tell you about somebody who went through some hard times. Her name is Jeanette. Jeanette grew up going to church. She placed her faith in Christ at a young age as her Savior, and she remained faithful throughout her life. After college, she got married, she found a job, bought a house, started a family, all the while she was active and faithful in her local church. When her first son was born, Jeanette quit her job as an editor at a small publisher and decided to be a stay-at-home mom. A second son was born, and you have this picture of the American dream: wife, husband, two kids, home, church, jobs. But then she began to experience vision problems. After months of doctor's office visits and vision specialists, she got the news that her vision was never going to improve and that she would eventually lose her eyesight completely. And then, after 22 and a half years of marriage, out of nowhere, her husband left her and her sons. And so suddenly Jeanette was thrust into a life that she hadn't chosen for herself, she never wanted for herself. She became a single mom. She struggled to find a job because of her vision problems, and she couldn't drive. Her church family was there to support her every step of the way, and they provided plenty of support. But still, they couldn't shield her from the overwhelming legal process of a divorce. They couldn't hold off the bankruptcy and foreclosure that came with that. They couldn't give her a home. And in the midst of her life falling apart as she experienced her darkest days, Jeanette says, I felt like a failure. a failure as a mom, a failure as a wife, a failure as a writer. And it was during those difficult days that a friend from church visited Jeanette. They sat on the couch, they rehashed Jeanette's journey, the loss of vision, the divorce, the bankruptcy, the difficulty of single motherhood and depression, and what seemed like an impossible journey ahead for her. And through tears, this friend placed her hand on Jeanette's, and she told Jeanette this. She said, "You, my sister, are a reflection of God's grace." And those words hit Jeanette, and she began to understand that while her situation may seem impossible, she would be able to move forward with the grace of God. Slowly but surely, she did. She moved into a new house, started a new job, and she began the journey of healing. And she looks back on her divorce and thinking that her life was falling apart, she writes this. She says, "In Scripture, Jesus equipped his followers to do impossible, scary, is this for real kind of things. While it's unlikely we'll be called to cast out demons, at some point we all face something that feels just as daunting. And these are the tests that have the power to solidify our faith and cause others to marvel at his grace." So as we stop and we think about impossible situations, let's take a moment and look at the people of Israel as they stood on the edge of a conquest, as they walked into Canaan with a promise, and they stood in front of what must have looked like an impossible situation, a wall around the city of Jericho that stood between them and their inheritance. Beginning in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6, the Bible reads this. "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. And then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse. The army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua leaves the presence of the Lord. He goes to the leaders of Israel, and he tells them how the Lord has instructed them to attack Jericho. And in verse 8, we see the Israelites put that plan into action. Verse 8 says, "When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets. The rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, 'Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp, and they spent the night there." The people do this, the same thing, 6 days in a row. And then in verse 15, we see what they do on day 7. "On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" And then down in verse 20, we see the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, "And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city." Father, we are thankful for your word, thankful for the lessons that we can learn, thankful for the way that you take care of your people. Lord, may we be encouraged through your Spirit. May we be strengthened to follow you as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I'm going to say this. Most of us have never stood at the base of an impenetrable fortress with the goal of conquering its inhabitants. All of us, however, have faced situations that seemed on first glance just as impossible as penetrating that wall. And there are lessons that we can learn from Israel's experience at the base of the walls of Jericho. That's important for us to kind of understand. How did the nation of Israel and its fighting men end up standing at the base of the wall of Jericho? Well, it wasn't a one-day event. It began a long time ago. It is the culmination of 40 years of wandering in the desert. For 40 years after they left Egypt, they had heard the promise of a homeland. For 40 years, they had lived these nomadic lives, children being born, marriages being celebrated, lives being lived, but roots never growing deep because they knew there was a promise ahead for them. They crossed the Jordan River, they camped near the city of Jericho, and now they are ready to take possession of the promised land, to find a home where before there had been none. They are ready to claim the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Now, just for a moment, take some time and put yourself into the shoes of an average Israelite soldier as he stood at the base of that wall. For most of these men, Jericho was the first city they had ever seen that was so big and was surrounded by huge walls. It must have looked like an absolute impossible mission to many of them. And they had a choice to make as they stood there. Would they listen to the directions that God had given to their leader? Would they place their trust in him and move forward? Or would they give up, go back to their nomadic lives and never experience the victory that God had in store for them? One thing stood between them and that victory, a wall, which brings me to the first lesson this morning. All of us have walls in our lives. All of us have obstacles that we are going to be faced with. All of us are going to face challenges in our lives. Some are going to be bigger than others. Some are going to seem like we can do this. Some are going to seem like we can never do this. And I think it's important for us to realize that not only do we face walls in our lives. Listen, people in the Bible, if we look, you read throughout Scripture, you can see some of the walls and obstacles that people faced. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. God has said, I'm going to make you the head of a great nation. Your descendants are going to outnumber the stars in the sky. And at 100 years old and 90 years old, guess what they didn't have? And have a child. That seems like an obstacle to having descendants that are going to outnumber the stars. Think about Joseph. He was his dad's favorite son. His brothers hated him for it. They sold him into slavery, and he ended up imprisoned wrongly in Egypt. He literally had walls that he had to deal with. Think about King David. He had a kingdom at his beck and call, and a son who decided to raise up an army and rebel against him. Listen, there are abundant examples in Scripture over and over and over, and they prove this. And this is what I want you to know. We all have walls. No matter how strong our commitment to our Lord is, we will not be spared the challenges and obstacles of life. Just because we have a strong commitment to the Lord doesn't give us carte blanche to think we're never going to face an obstacle, that we're never going to face a wall in front of us. We've seen too many times over and over in Scripture how even the most faithful face challenges. So what I want you to do now is think about some of the challenges and obstacles that we'll face. Obviously, we're not going to face a wall that we have to invade a city and bring down an army. But we are going to face things like the loss of a loved one, maybe unexpectedly. Some of us are going to face financial obstacles and difficulties, relational obstacles, relational walls of broken relationships with family and friends, alienation. We're going to face health-related obstacles, health-related walls, both personal and family-related, cancer, depression, dementia, loss of mobility. All of those are obstacles that some of us will face. Persecution, disasters that are natural and man-made, those are obstacles and walls that we may have to face. We're going to face internal walls as well. We're going to face fears and doubts. Fears that we're not good enough, doubts that God can do it in our lives. And what we want to do today is go, no, God is able to do it in our lives. Some of the obstacles and walls that we face are created by the bad choices that we have made. I'm going to stop there because I don't really want to get into that myself. But we have walls that we will face, and they are unique to you. The walls that you face, nobody else is facing. And it's important for us to realize that just because I'm experiencing something doesn't mean that everybody else is experiencing it. But you have walls in your life that you will face, which brings me to the next lesson. God has a plan to knock down every wall in your life. God has a plan to knock down every wall that we come up against that we faced. Now, two things out of this. The first is this. God is not surprised by the wall that you face. God's not surprised by the obstacle that is in your life today. He is omniscient. He knows everything and in every situation that we will face. Listen, I want you to think, the nation of Israel didn't spend 40 years wandering around in the desert, escaping slavery, crossing the Jordan, and pulling up to the front door of Jericho and finding a massive wall. And God was like, wait a minute, how'd that wall get there? I didn't see that wall. God knew that wall was there before the Israelites crossed the Jordan River. God knew that wall was there before they crossed the Red Sea and left Egypt 40 years before. Not one wall that we face, God doesn't know about. Not one wall that we face takes God by surprise. So God has a plan. He knows what walls we're going to face. And we need to remember this about the plan. This is the second thing about this. The plan that God gives you to overcome the obstacle in your life, to knock down the wall in your life, may be a tad unorthodox. It may not fit the conventional wisdom of how to do things. I want you to go with me back to verse 3 of chapter 6. This is what he told Joshua to do to knock down the walls, to defeat the city of Jericho. He said, march around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the arks. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them give a loud blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. And then the wall of the city will collapse. Now look, I have seen Lord of the Rings multiple times in my life. I'm not an expert in storming walled cities, but based on my research from watching Lord of the Rings, this is not how you knock down walls. This is not how you invade a city. I don't think that's the typical battle plan. It's unorthodox. Now, I ask you to put yourself in the army soldier's shoes for a minute. I want you to put yourself in Joshua's shoes for a minute. Joshua is just taking over for Moses. Moses had stood up to Pharaoh. He had led the Israelites out of Egypt. He had parted the Red Sea. He'd gone up to Mount Sinai and brought down the Ten Commandments. He had led them for 40 years to the edge of the Promised Land. I think it's safe to say Moses was a successful and beloved leader. And then he leaves the Israelites as they're about to enter Canaan. He turns things over to Joshua. This will be Joshua's first battle as the leader of the Israelite army. Now imagine Joshua getting the word from the Lord and then going to his military leaders and standing in front of them And I'm sure these military leaders have seen the wall. They've written down plans. They've decided to find a, you know, find a weakness in the wall. We're gonna blockade everything so nobody comes in, nobody comes out. We're gonna take care of this wall. And then Joshua says to his military leaders, for 6 days we're gonna march around the city one time, and then we're gonna come back to camp. Like, okay, all right, we're gonna show them our military might. And then on the seventh day, we're gonna march around the city 7 times and blow our trumpets, give a loud shout. Okay, and then what? Well, then the walls are gonna come down. What kind of response do you think Joshua was expecting as he told his military leaders that, as they told their soldiers that? I think his military leaders and soldiers probably thought, you're nuts. You're crazy. How is this going to knock down the walls? But here's the deal we make with God if we commit to follow him. If we will turn our lives over to him, he will have a plan for each step of our journey. It may seem unorthodox. It may seem crazy. It may seem like it won't work. We may wonder, has God lost his mind? But we know this, God has a plan, and if we follow that plan, then God has promises for us. God has promises for us. I want to go back to verse 2. Joshua's in the presence of the Lord, and the first words out of the Lord's mouth are this: I have given you Jericho. He didn't start with, Joshua, here's the plan. If you do this, then you'll succeed. He said, I have given you Jericho. That's the promise that we have. He has given us Jericho. He has given us the walls are going to fall down. No matter where the journey leads us, no matter the obstacles that stand in our way, no matter what we face, this much is certain. God is with us. God is with us as we stand at the base of those walls. We want to push. We want to push. And God says, let me, just be with me. Be in my presence. Let me be with you. I love John 16:33. Jesus is talking to his followers and he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. You'll have obstacles. You'll have walls that you have to face, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So we have promises. And we have to believe that God is with us. We have to believe that the plan that he has given to us will work. We have to believe that he is lighting every step that we take. He may not give us the path lit miles down the road, but just the step in front of us. And the reward for when we believe is that we will prevail. Listen, Israel stood at the foot of that wall for 6 days straight. They marched quietly, silently, without speaking around that wall. And I got to believe, it wasn't just coincidence that God said, don't speak, just march. Trumpets will blow, but you, I think God wanted them to see every step of the way how tall that wall was. How wide that wall was. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing about walls. You know when that wall comes down? Listen, the Israelite soldiers look at it. We've got to knock this wall down. But after that wall comes down, there are more walls ahead of them. We have to realize this wall is the next wall. The wall, the obstacle that we are facing now will lead us to a victory that will lead us to the next wall. Now, I am not naive enough to think that every wall in our lives will be overcome in the same way. We're not gonna experience a sudden wall falling every time we come to God. We will at some point, we may very often, but we will face times when those walls don't come down the way we think they should. We may not experience the victory that we think we're going to get over every wall in our lives. Every problem, every difficulty, every crisis, every loss that we face may not, listen, the plan is unorthodox. The plan may not look conventional. But listen, the victory sometimes may be this. The victory may be that the problems that we are facing, the walls that stand in front of us, don't crush us. That in the face of overwhelming defeat, we become a reflection of God's grace to those around us. I want to close with a story of a man named Nick Vujicic. Nick Vujicic was born without arms or legs. He faced depression and bullying. And honestly, as a young man, as a young teenager, he tried to take his life. That failed, and instead, Nick turned to Christ. He persevered through life's challenges. He discovered God's grace that enabled him to find his purpose and to turn the obstacles that came with his disability into opportunities. Now listen to this. In doing so, he became a world-renowned speaker and author, a spokesperson for persons with disabilities. He got married, had four children. But most importantly, he became an evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the platform that he'd gained. That's what victory looks like. Is that what Nick thought it was going to be when he started his journey? I don't know. It may have been an unconventional plan that got him to the place where that victory occurred. I don't know what kind of walls you're facing right now. I don't know if they're big walls or small walls. If you faced them before, you're trying to face them again. But we can take a lesson from Israel. We can start handling the walls in our lives God's way, because this much I know, he excels in doing the undoable. He can make the impossible possible. He can make the unthinkable thinkable. I know this, the God that we serve is a miracle working God who can move mountains. He can knock down any barrier that we might face. If we will just bring those walls, those obstacles, those difficulties to him. If you would stand, I'm going to give you a chance to worship again and respond to God's word. We're going to sing, and as we sing, the altar is open. You may have a wall that you need to bring to the Lord and let him take care of it. The altar is a great place to begin. We have pastors down here. They would love to pray with you if you want somebody to pray along with you because of the obstacles that you're facing. Listen, maybe you just need to come down here and hear from one of these pastors. You are a reflection of God's grace. Maybe there's somebody in this room you know is going through a difficult time. You just need to walk over to them and put your hands on theirs and say, you, my brother, my sister, you are a reflection of God's grace. Be reminded of that. If you've never experienced victory over your sin in Jesus Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to experience eternal life, forgiveness through him. One of our pastors will be glad to do that. Lord, thank you that you are a God who knocks down our walls. Lord, give us the faith to walk with you every step that we may find victory in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.